Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the OFR Farm Report podcast. With me as always, my co-host, Matt Kritzberg. Hey Matt, we are 2 days away from opening day.
We are, although it might be three, because, I mean, apparently the weather forecast is really awful for Thursday. And so, of course, they have that built-in off day on Friday, so they might just end up using that. But, yeah, we are very, very close. And then, of course, the minor leaguers will be getting started soon themselves. Gwinnett starts this weekend. They start a Friday shortened three-game series at Jacksonville. So we'll at least get some minor league action this weekend. And then the other three full-season teams will begin the following Friday.
Yeah, I can't wait. Got my Rome Emperor's tickets for that Friday and ready to go for that. All right, so we got, I guess, not much to talk about here. Since the last time we spoke, we've had the spring breakout games where all the different teams showcased a team of minor leaguers and played them against each other. The Braves played against the Red Sox, and I think they lost that game. Quite frankly, I didn't care much about the result. I was mostly focusing on the performances. Matt, I don't know if you saw any of that game.
No, I did not.
Yeah. It was started by Owen Murphy, and it was kind of a typical Owen Murphy start where he looked great for a couple innings, and then the wheels come off. And then they did this thing in spring training where he got in trouble in the third inning and they pulled him and then they brought him out for the fourth inning.
Oh, right? Yeah.
with a clean bases. Yeah, that was a bad idea. So he hadn't allowed a run, but he had a couple runners on, had some traffic in the third. They pulled him out and brought Patrick Halligan in, who on his first pitch gave up a two-run homer. And, so one of those runs was credited to Murphy. And then Halligan got the final out, and then Murphy came out for the fourth inning and gave up a bunch of runs. So for a while there, I think Murphy looked really good, though. I think he's setting up for a pretty good season.
I think it's so as well. I mean, he was facing hitters that were probably at least a couple levels above him, his own level. I mean, it's got a good little test though to see what kind of competition he's up against.
Yeah, I mean, at least one of those players for Boston, outfielder, I think it's Sadane Rafaela, who's a rookie, but he's already made the club. He's going to play center field for the Red Sox this year, and he's looked great in spring and really good defensively too. So I think that's the main reason why they're going ahead and advancing him up to stabilize that up the middle defense for Boston. But who cares? We're not a Boston podcast. So Murphy was facing, near major leaguers, and I think he held his own. Then Spencer Schwellenbach pitched the final three innings and just gave up a couple runs. I thought he looked pretty good. We hadn't really seen him. I think Murphy pitched in one spring training game early on. We hadn't really seen Schwellenbach at all. And reports are that he was working on a new slider. And in fact, he threw that quite a bit in that outing. Schwellenbach last year, mostly fastball, curveball, changeup, now with a slider. So it looks like they're really, really intending for him to stay in a rotation.
Which is good. I mean, I'm assuming there's a possibility he could start back at Rome again, but I mean, I would think that possibly Mississippi might be his ticket to at least start the season.
Yeah, that would be my guess as well. And then in between, I think we saw Domingo Gonzalez and I forget who else, but the relievers they sent on offensively, there was some hitting going on the Braves side, but you know, not a lot of hitting with runners in scoring position. And we also ran ourselves, you know, out of the bases a couple times. But I'll tell you someone who really impressed me offensively, and I had not seen him at all before, Isaiah Drake. He put together some really good at-bats. And from other little tidbits that we've seen him in spring training, he's a guy, I think he's only 19 still, but he is a very well put together young man. He's extremely fast, made a really nice play in right field. And I came away very impressed with Mr. Drake.
Yeah, I'm excited about him as well. Figure he's probably going to get me start making some organizational top 10 list come midseason.
Yeah, I think we had him at 22, and I think it was mostly just uncertainty. He barely played last year in the FCL, but I suspect he'll be in Augusta to start the season this year. We'll get a really good look at him. Yeah, he doesn't turn 19 until July 15th.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, he could very well stay down at Augusta the entire season, but I'm really interested to see how it goes. I mean, he's got several very loud tools, and like to see them all put together and used in action.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about the big league Braves here. So last time we spoke, Matt, we felt like the roster was pretty much set, and in fact, it was completely set 11 days prior to spring training. It was the end of spring training. It was by far the least dramatic spring training I think we've ever seen from the Braves. But that didn't stop them from making a couple of additions. Neither one of them are a surprise at all. I think at one time we actually flat out said, you know, if someone like Adam Duvall's price tag comes down to about $3 million a year, that the Braves will probably pick him up. And that's exactly what happened. Adam Duvall signed for exactly $3 million and has joined the team. Not real happy with the free agent process, but he does seem to be happy to be back with the Braves.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of all these guys that are on the free agent market are trying to find homes. In fact, literally just a few minutes ago, Jordan Montgomery signed with the Diamondbacks for a very light deal. Duvall, I mean, I know this. Everybody's already gone round and round about this, but I don't think it really had anything specifically to do with Jared Kelnick and his performance. But, I mean, obviously they said that he will be platooning, even though he's kind of doesn't really have those kind of platoon splits for Duvall, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, and you can't pass him up at that price. I mean, a backup rookie center fielder, I mean, rookie outfielder is going to end up costing you like $750,000. Just spend a little more than that, and you can get a veteran that's very dependable that can fill in if needed and get some production out of him. And $3 million is basically just sofa change.
Right. The alternative here was Jordan Luplow. And you and I discussed this before. It didn't feel like this is a team that has their sights on the World Series, right? It didn't feel like that was going to be the bench that they were going to end up with.
Yeah. I mean, we would even said last time out, I mean, we didn't think they were done with the bench, and if other opportunities presented themselves, and that still could apply. I mean, when they, at their most recent addition today, we'll talk about that in a moment, I'm sure. But I mean, they'll only have a 40-man roster of 38, and they could still put Angel Perdomo on the 60-day IL if it gets full. So they really have three spots to work with on the 40-man roster. So I wouldn't be surprised if they grab somebody off waivers and stash them at Gwinnett.
Yeah, that's true. So let's talk about that other guy, another old friend coming back to the Braves, Jesse Chavez, right-handed pitcher. With his fifth stint with the Atlanta Braves, had been in camp with the Chicago White Sox, where he had plenty of friends there. You know, the Michael Soroka was in the White Sox camp, along with Tuki Toussaint, who was recently designated for assignment, and of course Nicky Lopez, all those guys in that Aaron Bummer trade. But unfortunately, he didn't have a great spring, and and he was told he was not going to make the team. So he exercised his right to request to be released. So he was, and the Braves swooped down and grabbed him. He's on a minor league deal right now. My guess is that he will report to Gwinnett to get some innings in.
Well,
and, go ahead.
Well, the situation has changed there. Jackson Stevens was outrighted to Gwinnett a couple hours ago. So, I mean, Chavez has not been officially added to the 40-man roster, but that looks very likely over the next 48 hours.
That's what I get for napping.
See, you're like Rip Van Winkle, except like a two-hour version.
I've been asleep for so long. Are you telling me Jackson Stevens didn't make the Braves? Yeah, well, when Chavez was signed, you kind of looked and saw, you know, Jackson Stevens, he's been okay. He hasn't had a super great spring, but, you know, he's kind of someone that I think they're familiar with and would have been comfortable with there. But I think they had just have more comfort with Jesse Chavez, who just has so much more experience and more big league and big game experience.
And the man's got a rubber arm. He can just come in and pitch three innings on the spur of the moment and then come back a couple days later and pitch a couple more innings. His numbers were bad this spring for the White Sox, but his first appearance was really bizarre. It was literally the first game of spring training back in February, and they had him start the game and pitch 41 pitches in the first inning and give up 6 runs. Which obviously will do a number on your spring training numbers. But I mean, I don't know what the thinking was for the White Sox behind that move, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was kind of dissuaded by that as well. He's like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah, that's really strange. I had some thought that he may displace Dylan Lee, who has also made the team. Lee has looked good in spots and he's looked hittable in spots. He's really been trying to get over the hump as far as that shoulder injury from last year. And he admitted that when he came into camp, he was probably at about 80%. But the Braves obviously feel like he's good enough to go. And he has looked a lot better in his last couple outings. But I admit I thought they might keep Stevens, bring in Chavez, and let Lee keep working out in Gwinnett. But that's not the case.
Yeah, because he's got that magic option, but it looks like I think the last 2 weeks is what helped Dylan Lee cement his place on the roster. And I mean, they could always option him out later on if needed.
So let's talk a little bit about Jared Kelnick. So Jared Kelnick, he you know, his struggles early in camp were widely discussed, of course, with some people just kind of bizarrely kind of turning on him in a dime, it seems like. But he's shown he obviously they were working with him on a swing change. They've dropped his hands a little bit, kind of simplified his approach. And whenever you do that, it takes a little time for those changes to lock into place. But that it seems like it has over the last couple of weeks here at spring. And today he hit a home run. So let's face it, he doesn't have to set the world on fire in order to exceed what the Braves got out of Eddie Rosario last year over the course of the regular season. You know, no knock against Eddie. Hope he does a great job with Washington. But, you know, between a lackluster defense that somehow was still Gold Glove nomination worthy and, you know, and inconsistent hitting, although he did hit a bunch of bombs for us, I don't think it'll take much for Kelnick to surpass that production.
Yeah, I think the one thing they were really looking to over the two things they were really wanting out of Kelnick that Rosario did not provide were number one, good defense, and number two, just more consistency, because Rosario had like 2 good months last season and 4 really, really awful months. Because when he's on, he's really on, but unfortunately he wasn't on enough. So I would think in Kelnick's case, let's say it's 260 with 20, 25 home runs and good defense, plus making around league minimum. Now I think that they're going to consider that a win. Kind of like what they're getting out of shortstop with Orlando Arcia. I mean, if you provide good defense, you know, get some occasional pop, give us about 1.5 to 2 WAR, and we're calling it good.
Yeah. And then And then that's where this Duvall signing really makes you happy, right? I know ostensibly that he's going to platoon with Duvall, Kelnick and Duvall in left field, but it also opens up opportunities where you can do things like DH Ronald Acuna when his knee needs a break, or, you know, or if Michael Harris's back flares up again for a few days, that you could slide Duvall or Kelnick over into center field, and you still got Duvall, Kelnick, and Acuna in your outfield. You know, that's still a stout defensive group, as well as you know, something that pitchers will have to be careful of.
Well, not just that. Let's say if Marcell Ozuna is either hurt or turns back into the 2022 version of Marcell Ozuna, hey, there's Adam Duvall rated to DH right there. And let's say if Matt Olson, let's say he gets hurt for a couple weeks. I know they have Marcell Ozuna practicing at first base, but I mean, you could plug in either Ozuna or Duvall at first base and have the other one DH. And that's basically five different positions that Duvall can help cover. So, yeah, I mean, for $3 million, I mean, that thing's an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah. These are the kind of moves that it's a finishing touch kind of move. But, man, knock on wood, I am so confident in this roster right now. It's so well constructed. And we'll see when it touches reality, and they'll get their a serious test against Philadelphia in Philadelphia right off the bat here. But I'm really liking the Braves' chances this year, as everybody is.
Yeah.
I think they've been, you know, just about everybody's picking them, or, you know, if not to win at all, then to certainly win the NL East, which is pretty amazing considering, you know, Philadelphia is a really good team. And, the Mets probably are better than most people are giving them credit for.
I think the rotation's what's going to hurt them, with Senga being hurt and they're not a ton behind him. I think that's where they're going to have their issues. I mean, they've got a great lineup, though.
Yeah, the lineup is solid. I thought their pickup of JD Martinez was really smart, and their bullpen is really good too. They've improved their up the middle defense, which is always kind of something that it's like, are you serious about winning or not? When they picked up Harrison Bader for center field, so it's one of those things where you're not necessarily expecting a lot from the Mets, but you know what? If they were in, say, the AL Central, I would pick them as the favorites to win that division.
Oh, I would too. Even the NL Central, they would probably be neck and neck for getting that division as well. And of course, they get Edwin Diaz back as their closer this year, and maybe very well be the best closer on the planet. So, yeah, they're going to get a lot of good stuff out of them. But of course, the rest of the division. I mean, the Marlins. I think the Marlins take a pretty solid step back this season, because their offense is essentially the same crew minus Jorge Soler, and they've had a lot of injuries in their starting rotation. So
yeah, they're betting on a big comeback from Tim Anderson, and I don't know if that's going to happen, but that rotation is just, they got completely snake bit with injuries. I mean, they have a near all-star rotation on the IL to start the season.
Yeah, now you have Jesus Luzardo and not a whole lot else that's proven behind him.
Yeah. And then Washington, they're still in the midst of their rebuild. You know, it's, they're a team that'll be interesting to watch, especially as they start matriculating their top prospects up. I expect we'll see Dylan Cruz here before the end of the season, for example. We're seeing kind of a changing of the guard already a little bit with them. But in the meantime, they have the most bizarre platoon in left field with Jesse Winker and Eddie Rosario, both lefty hitting low average guys.
Oh, but they did say that Dave Martinez has said that Eddie Rosario is going to be getting some time in center field, which ought to be a bit hilarious.
Yeah. Remember the bit where I said where teams that pay attention to upfield, up the middle defense, you know, are, you know, shows that they're serious.
Yeah. That is an unserious team.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we want to do our minor league fantasy draft. And I know some of you guys are, you know, immediately I hear that and I'm like, oh, good, I can turn it off early. So we're going to do that here in a little bit. Matt, I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about. I figure we'll probably get on again next week at some point when the minor league rosters get revealed.
Yeah, because once Gwinnett's roster gets announced later this week, I think that's going to fill in some of the puzzle pieces for the remaining teams. I mean, we'll at least have an idea of who's going to Mississippi, even though they won't make that official announcement probably till next week sometime. But yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting because there are some players we just don't have any real clear picture as to where they're going to go.
Yeah, Hurston Waldrop is somewhere. Yeah. It's someone that I'm very interested to see where he starts.
He's at the top of the list.
Yeah. Yeah. And that Mississippi roster is going to be interesting. It's going to be, I don't know, should be an interesting mix of guys that have been there for like a long time now. And then guys, obviously, that are ready to move up from Rome. It'll be interesting to see how they mix all that up.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I hate that David McCabe got hurt. Cause I mean, you're going to have Nacho Alvarez. You could very well have Drake Baldwin there. Cause I think there's a lot of catching already at the Gwinnett level. So I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of backslid for a bit to Mississippi. And I mean, like, who knows where the likes of Justin Dean's going to end up. I mean, he'll probably float between the two levels again. Cody Milligan, Luke Waddell. I mean, I imagine they go to Gwinnett, but I mean, I'm not sure how much room there really is on the Gwinnett roster for those two.
Yeah, I have both of them still back at Mississippi. You just, Milligan may end up in Gwinnett, but, you know, they also have, you know, just the outfield. They have Eli White. They have Sky Bolt now, Louis Liberato.
J.P. Martinez.
J.P. Martinez, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, that's a lot of that's a lot of talent that they'll want to get consistent at bats for. So I don't imagine them putting a prospect in, and I still consider Cody Milligan a prospect. Justin Dean, like you said, probably floats. You know, we talk about quad A players, and Justin Dean unfortunately seems to be like a 2.5 A player.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to do well when he comes back to Mississippi, but when he goes to Gwinnett and. He'll do well in spots, but overall, the overall body of work isn't promising.
Yeah. There were a couple minor leaguers released over the last couple days, most notably Nolan Kingham, who's been a swingman for Gwinnett and Mississippi for the last couple of seasons, was let go. I think it's just a matter of numbers game, right? And then right-handed pitcher Charlie Culberson, the experiment of moving him to the bullpen seems to have run his course. I think his last outing where he hit a guy in the head, and you know it was not a real pleasant thing to watch. That might have sealed the deal for him.
I was gonna say, I think Charlie Culberson's next stop is going to be an analyst on Braves Live.
Yeah, which I'm sure he'll do a great job with.
Yeah,
and then. And then we got today, outfielder Tyler Collins, who was with Augusta all last year, was let go. Just, really fast guy, good in the outfield, but just couldn't demonstrate enough hit to keep all the other outfielders that they drafted last year at bay.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was an eighth-round pick in 2021. I mean, he has some good parts of his game. He plays really good defense. I mean, he's very fast. He stole 33 bases last season. But unfortunately, that 543 OPS is what really stands out for him. And with a 61 WRC plus, yeah, I mean, you, as the saying goes, you can't steal first base.
Yeah. And just as far as center field, you figure that, you know, in Augusta this year, they're going to have Cade Kern. They're going to have Douglas Glode up there, Robert Gonzalez. All of those guys probably have a higher upside right now than Collins. And then in Rome, he quite frankly, he didn't earn a spot in Rome. He's Ethan Werkinger. I guess we'll get most of the center field time there. All right, Matt, you ready to draft?
I guess. I'm on a losing streak, and I'm not particularly hopeful about you sent me a list of eligible players, and I kept the retching down to a minimum.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, folks. So we're going to do this draft. So people are not interested in that you're not going to hurt our feelings if you drop out at this point, but we will be talking about minor leaguers as we draft them. So feel free to hang in there and let's see, we need to determine who goes first. I'm going to go ahead and roll a die. Do you want even or odds?
I'll take even.
All right. I rolled a 6. You will go first.
Yay.
This will be a snake draft. So you'll make one and then I'll make two and so on and so forth. Before you start, let me set the stage here. We're going to be drafting a 25-man roster. It's going to include all the infield, 2 catchers, 3 outfielders, a corner infielder, a middle infielder, a DH, 5 starting pitchers, and 8 relievers. Previously, the list that that Matt was alluding to earlier, it was just a list of who was eligible. We are only taking players that in the Braves minor leagues at the start of this season that that have rookie eligibility left. So, for example, Louis Liberato, who I mentioned earlier, is not eligible. He has too much major league experience, so he's not going to be eligible.
But on the other hand, Ray Kerr is eligible.
Exactly. So, and interesting enough, Forrest Wall, who made the major league roster, is also eligible. He has not used up his rookie league eligibility, but he could be eligible for rookie of the year this year.
That very well could do that. All right. Yeah.
Theoretically.
Theoretically.
All right. So to be eligible at a position, they had to play at least 15 games there the previous year, or if they played less than 15 games anywhere, then it's wherever they play the most games. This really pinches off, namely, the first base position. There are only 6 players that played enough first base that's left in the system that's eligible for the position. One of them is a backup catcher at the FCL level, and 2 of them are backup infielders in either the Complex League or Augusta. So first base is going to be particularly tight. Some guys that we know are going to play a lot of first base aren't eligible there at the start of the season. Guys like Javi Valdez and Landon Stevens particularly are not eligible at first base.
Right. Or I don't believe Ryan Castile. Is he eligible?
That's correct.
Okay.
Nope. Because he only played 1 game last year before he was hurt, and it was a catcher.
Yeah.
All right. I think that'll do it.
All right, so I guess I'll start it off. I mean, I'm sure our 1-2 punch here is going to be pretty easy to predict. I mean, I'm going to take Hurst and Waldrop as my first selection.
I was wondering which way you would go there.
And I'm sure you'll be going the other direction.
And I will be going the other direction and picking up A.J. Smith-Shawver.
And that's a... I mean, it literally, it could have gone. It's 1A, 1B, but I think Waldrop is going to start Mississippi, and he's going to mow down some Southern League hitters and get some significant number of strikeouts before he ends up getting moved up to Gwinnett. So I think that'll be the play there.
Yeah, I think you got it exactly right, and that's an excellent choice. I'm going to grab the top hitter. I'm going to get Nacho Alvarez.
So I'm trying to write your selection down as well so I could keep up with who has and has not been selected. I am going to take Sabin Ceballos.
Okay, so that's third baseman Sabin Ceballos. I like him a lot.
All right, I choose again, right?
Yes, you do.
Okay. I'm going to stick with the position players for the moment. I'm going to choose Drake Baldwin.
Yikes. All right. So Matt strikes first on the catcher column and gets one of the top hitters in the system. Not great. All right. So I'm going to go pitching then, and I'm going to go with Cade Kyler. And then with my 4th round pick, I'm going to stay with pitching and get Giancarlos Lara.
All right. I am going to tackle first base since there's a dearth of options there. I'm going to choose Bryson Horn.
4th round pick, Bryson Horn.
Yeah, wouldn't have ever imagined that, but But as we've seen with our list of available first basemen, there's not much there. So.
Yeah. I will say what little I've seen of him in spring training has actually looked pretty good. I never really liked his swing very much. It seemed very much, kind of on a track, very little variation. But it looks like they've loosened him up a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't think that's a bad pick.
All right, my next pick. I'm going to go in the outfield, and I am going to choose Isaiah Drake.
That was going to be my next pick.
Because there are several things I would like to do, but I mean, there are several variables. I guess we'll talk about towards the end what's entering into our thinking on the different picks here.
I will also go outfield and get my number two backup pick after Isaiah Drake, J.P. Martinez. And then I will get my fourth starter and pick up Spencer Schwellenbach.
All right, having to mark these down. So Schwellenbach's gone, and you said Martinez will be gone as well. All right, I am going to go back to the outfield. I'm going to choose Luis Guanipa.
Oh, very nice.
And
do you think he's going to start in Augusta?
That's kind of a gamble I'm having to take here. That's entering into my thinking. I'm going to have to take a couple of gambles here, especially with the lack of position player prospects. I'm going to take a few chances here and there. Otherwise, we're just going to the same pool of guys who've been around for 3 or 4 years and just kind of treading water.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's a smart gamble, by the way.
Yeah, I think so, too. This guy's going to be eligible at a couple different positions. I'm going to choose Keshawn Ogins.
Okay.
I'll slot him in at second base for right now, but I believe he's also eligible at third, but I mean.
Third and short.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's the only position player eligible at three positions, actually.
Okay. So that's the reason I chose him, for his versatility.
Yeah, speaking of versatility, I think I'm going to go ahead and grab my second baseman, and it'll be Geraldo Quintero.
Yeah. And we have put a major dent into the middle infield spots.
And then I think I'm going to go ahead and grab a catcher now. I'm going to grab Tyler Tolvay.
Yeah, I thought about taking him over there just to raid the catchers, but didn't figure that was worth a gamble.
I recall a couple of seasons where you did that to me, and I want to try to avoid that when I could.
Yeah, see how much it helped.
So those of you who don't have a recollection of this, Matt did win the very first one of these we did back in 2019. Then obviously in 2020, there was the COVID year, so we didn't have a teams, but I have won 2021, 2022, 2023, the last three in a row.
Let's see. I'm actually going to take a bit of a detour here. I'm going to go with the bullpen. I'm going to go with Grant Holmes.
He was my number two
My list. Say Gwinnett went to him an awful lot last season for their closer spot, so I think he's a guy who can give me a few saves if they don't change their philosophy.
And I know they like the break. He was a non-roster invitee, and I from what I understand, he impressed a lot of people in Braves camp. I believe Travis d'Arnaud said he thought he was the best of the young pitchers that was throwing to him.
Young,
yeah. Well,
he's probably only a couple years younger than d'Arnaud at this point.
Everything's relative, right?
But, yeah. You know. I forget. Is it still my turn? I forget.
It is.
All right. Let's see. Probably need to get back into the rotation game. I'm going to go get Owen Murphy.
I was considering him with my next pick, but I think I'm going to go ahead and lock down my other catcher. And it's going to be Adam Zabrowski.
Yeah, he was the third one on my list, and that put a pretty big dent into the catching category.
I only had one relief pitcher ahead of Grant Holmes, so I'm going to grab him now, and that is Desbel Hernandez.
Yep. He's definitely on my list.
And for folks, all their numbers count, so if Desbel Hernandez is called up early and spends the rest of the year in the major leagues, it'll be his major league numbers that'll count. If Desbel Hernandez is traded to the White Sox tomorrow, his numbers with the White Sox or wherever he ends up would count. So nobody's stuck if they're not actually in the Braves minor league system anymore.
All right, I am going to stay with the bullpen. I'm going to choose Ray Kerr. I think he'll likely only get low leverage situations in Atlanta, but I think at Gwinnett he'll get some higher leverage situations.
All right, and we're on to round 11.
I am going to stick in the bullpen. I think I'm going to go with Hayden Harris.
That was number 3 on my list. Boy, third base gets squirrely quick.
Yeah.
that was a good call grabbing Ceballos that early. I'm going to grab Cade Bunnell.
Yeah.
And put him at third. He's eligible at second as well. But I have Quintero right now at second. He is also eligible at outfield, so I might do some shuffling later if things come up.
All right. I'm going to see about – been seeing some promising things about the change in his swing this spring training. Ampioris Tavares.
All right. Oh, wait. I think I should have made another pick there. I picked Bunnell. So that was 11. Yeah, I'm short a pick. I wasn't going to take Tavares, so it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab Luke Waddell and put him as my middle infielder.
Okay. All right. Let's see. There's a serious lack of power in the organization right now. I'm going to take Landon Stephens just so I could get some home runs out of somebody.
That is an excellent idea.
And he's eligible outfield and I guess DH.
I mean, literally anybody's eligible at DH.
So. Yeah.
I'm going to take Drew Hackenberg to fill out my rotation.
Okay.
And then pick up my second reliever, who's going to be Shay Shanaman.
I had him on my list, although he was a little further down. I may have to double up on some relievers just to things going. I'm going to go with Brooks Wilson and Roldy Munoz.
Yeah, Munoz is my next reliever. So with him gone, I'm going to grab Jonathan Hughes. He's been getting a lot of looks as a fence jumper.
Yeah.
And he's looked pretty good.
I noticed that. Yeah.
And I'm going to grab another outfielder. I'm going to grab Cody Milligan, who sadly did not play enough second base to be eligible for there. Otherwise, he would have been drafted probably in the top 5 rounds, right?
Yeah. Let's see. I am going to go back to the outfield. I'm going to choose Kevin Kilpatrick. He's been getting a lot of looks in spring training as well.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see.
So I have that as your fourth outfielder. So Stevens will be DH, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that makes some notations here. All right. Let's go back to see what I'm going to take. Mario Baez, I'm going to take as a middle infielder.
Hmm.
How many players are we selecting overall?
25 total. So that was your 17th. All right. I'll go ahead and keep working on my bullpen. All right. I'm going to go with Domingo Gonzalez. And then I'm going to go with Geomar Diaz.
All right. I am going to go. I'm going to the reliever well because we're starting to pump that sucker dry. Patrick Halligan and Kyle Wilcox.
Pretty reliable upper level arms. I'll keep rolling with the Emperors. I'm going to take Rob Griswold.
Yeah, I had him towards the end of my list.
And Landon Harper.
See, we're taking eight relievers.
Yes. So we're okay, we're so both at seven now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take my final reliever. I'm going to take a. It's a bit of a gamble here, but I'm going to take Jared Johnson.
I like that gamble.
Yeah, I think it seems like that they have committed to him as a bullpen arm now, I think. So if that's the case, I think we can get some good results there. And that's my final bullpen arm. Let's see how many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So I've got 20. I think I've counted correctly. I got 20 players.
That is correct.
Okay.
I see that you still need a catcher,
three
starting pitchers, and a corner infielder.
Okay. For my corner infielder, I'm going to take Sanchez from Gwinnett. I forget which one. It's not Yolmer.
Yolbert.
Yes.
good old Yolbert. You're a huge fan, I can tell.
Yeah, he's an infielder.
Yeah, we're pretty much not in competition anymore.
Nope.
Because you finished your bullpen.
You still don't have a, yeah. You still don't have a first baseman, do you?
I don't. And I don't see you grabbing a first baseman as a – well, maybe you will. Nah. I don't know. You know what? Just in case, I'm going to get Justin Janis.
I was going to say, because the drop-off after Janis is precipitous.
Yeah.
Nah, I wasn't going to get another first baseman. I'm surprised Cade Bunnell doesn't have eligibility there.
He was just shy. I think he played 13 games at first. And
all right, so
I got my 22nd pick here. I need another outfielder, a corner infielder, and a DH. I could go catcher with my DH and mess you up, but I don't think I'm that big of a jerk. Or am I? Ooh, boy, that's tough. Javi Valdez is sitting right there.
Yes, he is.
Oh, let's be nice. I'm going to take... I'm going to take Cade Kern.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to take Javier Valdez before you change your mind.
Yeah, if you don't, I would have taken him next time.
Yeah. Although I did consider, I believe his name's Alexander Martinez. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if he'd be in full season ball, though.
Yeah, I suspect he'll be Augusta's primary catcher, but we'll see.
All right, so I need starting pitching. I get one more pick here before you take over again. I'm going to choose Alan Winans.
Okay. All right. Your offense is completely done, so we are not in competition at all. I need a corner infielder. You know what? You took a chance with Mario Baez. I'm going to take John Gill.
Interesting.
And no, I don't think they're equivalent. I think Baez is better, but you know,
yeah.
I guess the question is how much playing time they're going to get. Right? They may both be
exactly
guys, right? So, and then I'll grab just DH. So, what's the best hitter left? I'm tempted to go with Justin Dean here, but I feel like I'm pretty good with stolen bases. I'm going to go with Diego Benitez.
All right. I had a couple. I mean, I'm out of the position player game, but I've got a couple of possibilities. We'll go over those in a second. I mean, one would be a bit of a gamble, and the other one, you're only going to get one category out of.
Yeah. So.
But I'll go ahead and take my final two starting pitchers with Darius Vines and Luis Diavila.
Okay. And then my last pick will be a reliever, and it will be LJ McDonough. All right, that's it.
All right. Yeah, I was looking at a couple position players there. Jeremy Celedonio was still on the board. You're not going to get any batting average out of him, but you might get a little pop.
Yeah, he actually laid, I think he led the Braves minor leagues in home runs. No, not the Braves minor. He did tie for the Carolina League in home runs last year. And I had him on my team last year. Here's the thing. I'm not convinced he's going to remain with the organization the entire season.
Ah, yeah. It could be one of these guys that's kind of moved aside when the new class comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another one I'd considered, but I did not know when or if he might return to the minor leagues would be, or the lack of playing time as of right now, is Forrest Wall.
Right.
I thought about it, but he's just not going to get enough playing time to matter, at least for the short term.
Right. If they make another addition and he ends up back in Gwinnett, he'll obviously start every day and we'll both regret not getting him. But I have the feeling he's going to spend most of the year in Atlanta and most of the year just basically being a pinch runner.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that's I thought about it, but I think there's just enough outfield depth. I mean, not that there was much, but just enough to avoid making that gamble.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really the position player gap here is, you know, is pretty wide. And, you know, we saw this last year too. It's not really gotten better. This is the tough part about being, following a team, you know, with the, you know, the major league team, the way it is and the lack of opportunity for people to move up. So it's kind of hard that we're in a position now, you know, not that long ago, we were watching a tremendous wave of talent going up the major leagues. And we've watched that all matriculate to the majors. And it's delightful to see guys like Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies and Austin Riley and Max Fried succeed at the major league level after watching him for so many years in the minors. But now we're in a position where only a few of these guys will probably make it to the majors with the Atlanta Braves. Right.
Yeah, the main guys I'm looking at are Nacho Alvarez and Drake Baldwin, because I figure Travis d'Arnaud could possibly be in his last season with the Braves before he kind of moves into the coaching, and would not be surprised if he was the heir apparent manager in the future, where Baldwin could possibly get a little time this season and move into place as backup catcher next season. And, of course, Nacho, I mean, there's an opening at shortstop if he plays well enough, and if Orlando Arcia dips too much, that there's an opportunity there. And of course, Luke Waddell just could be a backup option just because he won't be making any money and he can play a number of different positions pretty well.
Right. Yeah. And everybody else, we're hoping that they get really good so they increase their trade stock. Right. you know, and we saw that, you know, we've seen that, right. We've seen a lot of prospects come up about halfway through and they get traded at the deadline or elsewhere for, you know, for parts that the Braves need immediately. So what that creates is a minor league system where you're trying to be invested in these guys, but it's hard to be invested in the guys. So when we do an exercise like this, I found it this year was much more kind of analytical than previous years when you were, when I was trying to get my favorites, right? I still have my favorites in here, but Nacho Alvarez is a favorite, right? But otherwise, it's just, you know, I wonder if these guys, I'm looking at my team and wondering how many of these guys will actually finish the year in the Braves organization.
Yeah, and I mean, My strategy was to grab a lot of position players early just because there are so few of them. Because in past years, we've been after the starting pitching pretty early on. I mean, obviously, the top two picks, once you get Smith, Schauber, and Waldrop off the board, the drop-off after that's pretty stark.
Yeah.
Of course, that's when you have to go after the position player just because there's so few of them. But like Sabin Ceballos, what's his feature of the organization? I mean, he's a third baseman right now, but let's say he hits his way up the ladder. What happens with him unless he changes position or gets traded? I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he's athletic enough that maybe he can play outfield. But there's not a place in Atlanta for third base, and there's not going to be for some time, right? You know, or first base for that matter. So, you know, maybe in the outfield, you know, but even then, if all goes well, right, you've got Acuna for at least another, five seasons. You got Michael Harris at least for another six or seven. And then Kelnick, you just got, you know, and he's got four
to 6 years, I think.
I don't think it's that much. I think he's due for arbitration next year. So I think he's got 4 years of control.
Right.
But, you know, that's still 4 years, right? So, you know, someone like Isaiah Drake may be perfectly lined up, right, to take over when Kelnick becomes a free agent, you know. But it's also the Braves. They, you know, if Kelnick proves himself, he could be in line for an extension or something like that, right? So I imagine it's a really dog eat dog world in the Braves minor league system right now. It's certainly not like it was in the, you know, 2016, 2017 when, you know, the goal was the major leagues and it was there for the taking, right?
Yeah. So it's open auditions at that point, but yeah, now it's everything's pretty landlocked.
Yeah. All right. So real quickly, just to recap our teams, Matt, you have infield of Bryson Horn, Keyshawn Ogins, Ambiaris Tavares, and Sabin Ceballos. Behind the plate, you have Drake Baldwin and Javi Valdez. In the outfield, you have defensively, you're set. This is a great defensive outfield. Yeah. Isaiah Drake, Luis Guanipa, and Kevin Kilpatrick. On the bench, you have Yolbert Sanchez and Mario Baez, and your DH is Landon Stevens. Your starting rotation heads off with first-round draft pick Hurston Waldrop, followed by first-round draft pick Owen Murphy. Then you have some reliable older arms, Alan Winans, Darius Vines, and Luis De Avila. In the bullpen, you have probably a bunch of Gwinnett Stripers, Grant Holmes, Ray Kerr, Hayden Harris, and Brooks Wilson, and then probably some Mississippi Braves, Roldy Munoz, Patrick Halligan, Kyle Wilcox, and Jared Johnson. My team around the infield, Justin Janis at first base, Geraldo Quintero at second, Nacho Alvarez at short, and Cade Bunnell at third. Behind the plate, Tyler Tolvay and Adam Zabrowski. In the outfield, J.P. Martinez, Cody Milligan, and Cade Kern. Yeah, you know, also not that bad defensively. On the bench, John Gill and Luke Waddell. And then my DH is Diego Benitez. And then my starting rotation is A.J. Smith-Shawver, Cade Kyler, Jean-Carlos Lora, Spencer Schwellenbach, and Drew Hackenberg. In relief, I have Daisbell Hernandez, Jonathan Hughes, Shea Shaneman, Domingo Gonzalez, Geomar Diaz, Rob Griswold, Landon Harper, and LJ McDonough. And I'm struck again. It's kind of funny. I certainly didn't consciously do this, but it's funny how your team gravitates more toward Gwinnett and Mississippi, and mine gravitates more toward Rome and Augusta.
Yeah.
Which, in case you don't tell, when we do the farm reports, he writes for Gwinnett and Mississippi, and I write for Rome and Augusta. It's kind of funny the way that's the way it fell here.
Yeah, I tried to, at least my starting rotation, once the main guys were off the board, I tried to go for reliability. I think we at least got an idea of what kind of production we're going to get out of Winans, Vines, Deavilo, who probably will be at Mississippi for a long period because there's nowhere to go for Gwinnett. So I think those guys are going to provide me some reliable stats.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, when in doubt, go for strikeouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Oh, you're going to get some strikeouts.
Yeah. So I'll get strikeouts and you'll probably get ERA. And then it'll be decided by things like whip ratio and stuff like that. And wins, which is a complete crapshoot, right? So,
yeah.
All right. Well, Matt, I hope you had fun. I had fun.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody, we will be back probably in about a week, hopefully with some roster news and ready to kick off the minor league season. As we said, Gwinnett starts on Friday, and the Braves will start either Thursday or Friday, depending on the weather. So we'll have real, actual baseball to talk about next time, Matt.
I like it.
All right. Everyone, hope you have a great week.
Have a good one.
No. Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal.
I am
ça m'est
well.
Bien égal. Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. C'est payé. Allumer le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours, je repars à zéro. Non. Rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie.